Isn't God's grace so good? Grace, God's amazing grace. Perfect. The most important thing you can ever think. The most important thing you can ever believe. What kind of things come to your mind when you hear that phrase? The most important thing you could ever think. The most important thing you could ever believe. I'm glad that you're here this morning, because I will tell you, what we believe about God will influence how we view everything else. What we believe about God influences and shapes everything else. To believe is to accept something to be true. I wonder if I can sit down. I wonder about the legs of this chair. I wonder about the back of this chair. I wonder about this red cushion in the chair. I wonder about it. I don't know if I should sit. I might. I wonder if it's comfortable. You guys are shaking your head at me. Don't do that. Y'all are sitting in them. How about this? Gravity. People have been trying to defy this truth for many, many years. Oh, sure, I could take my paper-thin vertical and jump and defy gravity for about half a second. At the end of the day, I don't get a choice. I am coming back to the earth. What we believe about God will influence how we view everything else. Because of this truth, because of what we believe, because it is so important, let's jump right into our text. Turn in your Bibles, if you have it with you, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 18, and we're going to be reading through verse 25. When you get there, if you're able and willing, would you stand again for the reading of God's Word? Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of the birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Father, as we approach your divine, inspired word this morning, God, would you grant us the help of the Holy Spirit as we look at it, as we interpret it, as we read it, Father, that we might understand it better. Father, help us to truly have a grasp of what it is to honor you this morning. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if there's something that we can learn from Scripture and reading Scripture, it is pay close attention to special words. One of my favorite words in the Bible is the word therefore. You guys, if you've been around me long enough, you understand what that is. Here's another one of those words. We begin in verse 18. It is the word for. It is not the word therefore, but it is almost just the same. So, you know what we're going to do. We're going to go back just a touch. And I'm going to read verses 16 through 18 together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So if you go back to verse 16, you get this really good contrast of the righteousness of God versus the unrighteousness of men. But if you know anything about who's writing this letter, Paul in this letter has been writing to the Romans, and he is eager and excited to share the good news. Now let's just stop right there for a second. Eager and excited. What a prayer that would be for us this morning. To be eager, to become so eager and so excited that we want to share the good news. And we can't contain it anymore, so we've either got to let it come out of our mouths verbally, or we've got to write it down and share it with somebody. The righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of men is where we find ourselves in our text. Paul is excited to share this news, but he's got to get something straight first. Remember, the most important thing we will ever think, the most important thing we will ever believe, is what we believe about God, because that shapes and influences everything else. Here's a news flash. I wonder if I can sit in this chair yet. Nope, not yet. Here's a news flash. I know that each one of us came in this room with our own ideas about who God is, about what God is, about what He's doing, about why He's not doing stuff. Let's all collectively get off of our spiritual high horses. Can we do that together? Let's just get off. Nobody rode in here on a horse. But let's get off of our spiritual high horses and talk about this from ground zero. It's not about us. It's not about us. It is about God. And what we think about God, what we believe about God, shapes and influences everything else. Look at verse 19 and 20. We just read 16 through 18. Talked about the contrast between the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of men. Verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world. Since the creation of the world. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Turn with me. Very first book of the Bible. Very first verse of the Bible. If I can get through all the stuff at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. I don't like to punctuate Scripture, but that tells you everything that you need to know. In the beginning, God. There was nothing before Him. He was there. In the beginning, God created. Remember back in Romans what we just read? For since the creation of the world, here it is in Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth and everything under the earth and everything that roams around on the earth. This is where we start once we have gotten off of our high horse. You see, what we find in the rest of the book of Genesis and through half most of the book of Exodus is this gradual decay of God's creation. People are rebelling against God. That's just our nature. And you see the effects of the fall in Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve are together in the garden. And Eve takes the fruit and she gives it to Adam, and they eat together. And now we are all suffering from that experience. And so God brings a person named Moses. Do you remember? Do you remember Moses? And he's allowed his people to be in captivity and oppressed. And he gives them Moses. And I'm really shortening the story here. He gives them Moses to lead them out of their captivity and to turn them toward God again. And so if you turn over with me to Exodus chapter 20, this is where we will pick up with this narrative. Exodus chapter 20. And we read it already this morning, but I hope it will make so much more sense to you now. You see, here in Exodus chapter 20, the people have been brought out of captivity. They are on the backside of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army and his men have been left to their death. And God speaks through Moses, and God could have said 1,000 different things here. He's God, remember? In the beginning, God. He could have said 1,000 different things. He could have said, you know what, Moses, I'm still kind of upset about what happened in the garden. I'm really reeling from that decision that got made. He could have said, you know what, Moses and Aaron, I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. I'm going to let you know what's going on. He didn't do that. He's God, remember? He can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. And what we believe about that influences everything else. And so here we are in Exodus 20. God could have said 1,000 things. And what does he say? 20 verse 1, Exodus 20 verse 1. Then God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God. He could have said 1,000 things. And yet he wanted to get it right from the beginning. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then verse 3. I am the Lord your God, and now what? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have nothing else before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them. Think about that for a moment. You shall not have any other god before me. You shall not make anything that goes before me, and you certainly shall not worship it. Why? You shall not worship them or serve them, for, there's that word again, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. God is a jealous God. Now somebody might look at me and say, well, Brother Adam, does God really have to be so jealous? Yes. But why, Brother Adam? What we believe and think about God shapes and influences everything else. Why does God have to be so jealous? Creator, created. There is nothing before him. There was nothing like him. There is nothing on this earth. Not rocks, not mountains, not sunsets, not kidneys, bones, flesh, nothing like him. For us to say God is like and fill in the blank is blasphemy. Creation screams his name, but nothing is like him. He is God. In the beginning, God created. It didn't say in the beginning something else created him. He is the creator. We are the creation. We are not like him. There is nothing like him. Now there's extremely strong language that happens here. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. to put God into comparison with something else, to elevate something else, a tree, a sunset, the moon, anything that has been created, even things that have power in creation. Satan created being. Satan is a creation. He has been given power, but he is not like God. So there is extremely strong language here, because if you elevate anything else to that status that God is, he is not like anything else. If you put anything else in that place, hate is the result. I hate it. And I will punish, God says. Let's turn back over. God is creator. God is jealous. What does it mean? I want you to turn to Exodus. One more thing, real quick. Exodus chapter 33. You get a picture of what this looks like. And you say, well, Brother Adam, I don't do any of the things that you're asking or that you're saying. I don't elevate things to a status where they shouldn't be. I'm okay. Let's look at what happens. This is God's chosen person, Moses. Exodus chapter 33, starting verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing on which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight. I have known you by name. Moses is interceding here for the people. Then Moses said, I pray you show me your glory. Show me your glory with an exclamation point. Moses is asking God, show me your glory. And God said, he said, I myself will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. See, there is nothing like him. For us to see God's face, we would not be able to comprehend what it looks like. I cannot begin to even fathom what God looks like, what God is, how big he is. I cannot put that in a box. It is not some creation to be tamed. It is not like some wild stallion in a field that I can rope and subdue and get on. I cannot even comprehend it. This is the God that we're talking about. And Moses has asked God to show me your glory. And God said, I will come past you, but I will not let you see my face. Then the Lord said in verse 21, behold, there is a place by me that you shall stand on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. You see, Moses said to God, show me your glory. And God said, it's not how it works. You are the creation. I am the creator. You don't get to set the rules. You don't get to just tell me when and where I can do and what I will and won't do. I am creator. You are creation. This is how it's going to go, Moses. This is what it's going to be like. And so Moses gets a chance to see his back. That's it. God is creator. God is jealous. Let's go back to Romans chapter 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God, there's that hate. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, against all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. The truth about God, whenever it gets suppressed, produces hate from God. Wrath from God, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes. There are two things that we learn from verses 18 through 20 about God and his power. We know first about his eternal power. It contrasts God to everything else. Keep reading. His invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature. There are at least two things we can learn about his creation. His power and his nature. His power. He is the creator. He is not to be put in any form or fashion. He is not to be there. Nothing that he has created is to be elevated to the status of God. Nothing. because his power is eternal. Nothing else has that claim. Nothing else can say, I have eternal power. The second thing we learn is God's divine nature. Paul uses a word here, or throughout his writing, that is synonymous to the term that we would have used for jealous. It is the word holy. It is the word to be set apart. It is to be different from everything else. God is holy. He is jealous. It is synonymous and all the same. Because he is so different. Because he is the creator. Because he is not the creation. He is therefore holy and set apart. And we are to honor and worship him and him alone. Creation screams. Everything about him. But it is not like him. I wonder if I can sit down yet. You say, well, maybe if I just get a different view of the chair. So I moved it down here. Maybe it'll help me. Maybe if I just get a different view of God, maybe it will help me. Let's keep reading. For they knew God. Verse 21. There was a relationship there. How many times have you ever heard somebody come up and say, well, I know God, but should there be a but? I know God, but what? Remember, no excuses today. I know God. If you knew God as creator, if you knew God was jealous, there would not be a but. Because God is the creator, we are the creation. And what we think about God, what we believe about God, influences and shapes everything else. I want you to take a look at a quick video, because I think it's going to paint a really good picture for you about what we're talking about. Go ahead, Levi.
What's wrong, big guy?
Turn it.
What is that?
See what's happening? This is our, and this is a beloved toy by lots of people for a lot of reasons. Some people still don't like it, okay? It is the first opportunity in our humanness and in our human nature to suppress something. You stuff that thing back down in the hole and you close the door. And that gives you such a sense of power and control. And then you have no power and control because you're waiting for it to come out. But it gives you the idea of what's going on. For they knew God, they did not honor him as God, or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened, pretending to be wise. You see what happens? These wise people here are the prophets, the theologians of the day, the wise people, the councils. They became foolish. Because they have suppressed the truth. Back in verse 18, they have suppressed the truth. They have taken the truth of God and they have shoved it down into a box and closed the door on it and said, this is not what we think about God. They have exchanged, if you keep reading, the glory of the incorruptible God, the God, the Creator, They have exchanged the glory of that God for an image in the form of a corruptible man and the birds and the four-footed animals and the crawling creatures. They are making idols. They are putting and elevating things into the status where they should never go. And because of that, we get verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Remember, they knew God. They knew Him. And yet they suppressed the truth and started this exchange process and ended up exchanging the truth of God for a lie. I wonder if I can sit. I know this is a chair. I know it has legs. I know it's holding all of you. But I just don't know yet, because I don't know what I believe about this chair. I don't know. I don't know. The year was 1975. Any of you guys around during that time? 1975. If you've seen the movie, you remember it. Da-na, 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 da-na. Jaws. You remember that movie? Jaws. This had a huge impact on beach communities. Beaches were empty after 1975. And so there was a break between Jaws 1 and Jaws 2. And people had started going back to the beach. And do you remember what the catchphrase for Jaws 2 was? Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. Because you would look at me and say, Brother Adam, we don't do this exchange policy. Certainly you don't do it as our pastor. You don't exchange the glory of an incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. You don't exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creatures. Certainly, Brother Adam, you don't do that. I will tell you, I am just as guilty as the next. Because just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, just when you thought you were off the hook, I'm giving you some free stuff here from verses 26 on. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also men abandoned the natural function of the women and burned in their desire toward one another. Men and women committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit, in verse 28, to acknowledge God any longer, just when they saw fit to not believe anything that they thought about God to be true, what happens? God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil. Let's just see if we can catch ourselves in this list anywhere. Full of unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, they know Him. They know the ordinance of God. Those who practice such things are worthy of death. Did you catch that? I was able to pick myself out of a list somewhere. Just when you thought it really didn't matter what you believe about God, just when you thought it didn't matter what you think about God, let me tell you, it matters. Because if you do not get it right that God is creator, that God is jealous, then He will turn you over. Excuse me. He will turn you over. Remember, they knew God. I don't have a voice anymore. So this is how we're going to do this. They knew God.